Hello, this is Richie Milani from Learning Without Borders, here to give you a brief summary on Irish history. We're going to start it up in 800 AD with the Viking invasion. Now, just before the Vikings invaded, life in Ireland was very peaceful. Most people were living as farmers, raising families. We didn't have a big army. We didn't have great huge castles with big walls or anything. It was mostly monasteries, artists, goldsmiths, creating religious jewellery and artistic works. Now, the Vikings invaded during a time when there was a lot of war happening around Europe. The Normans and the Vikings were at war together. England was at war with France, or at least close to it. So, you know, Ireland was this strange green little island, which was quite peaceful. Now, when the Vikings invaded, the plan was to continue on to Britain. However, they liked Ireland so much, a lot of them stayed and later became kings or lords as time went on. Now, the Vikings built Dublin, Cork, Galway, Waterford, Wexford, Belfast, which are still like the main towns and cities that stand today. So really, they have been going on for 1,000 years. And the Vikings gave us a very good foundation to what was to become a civilized society. They also taught us how to make weapons and defend ourselves, as it was now their land too. However, in around 1169, there was an invasion. A man called Strongbow was invited to Ireland with his armies by King Dermot. Dermot was the king of Leinster, which is in the east of Ireland. Now, Dermot betrayed the other kings of Ireland and let Strongbow in with his armies, defeated the three kings, and then Strongbow betrayed Dermot. Killing Dermot, Strongbow took over rule of Ireland until such time that Strongbow himself was killed, and then England ruled in Ireland. Ireland was ruled from London. When Britain came in, the English colonized us. So they sent over primarily rich lords who would build large houses and rule over acres and acres of land, commanding all of the people underneath him to pay him size of tax, to work for him for very little money or for no money. And this went on from 1169, continuing right up into the 1800s. And really, it was only in the 1800s, but late 1700s, where things started to change. The end of the 18th century brought several important leaders to Ireland. The first I want to talk about is Daniel O'Connell. Daniel O'Connell was essentially, we call him the liberator or the emancipator, born in Kerry in the south of Ireland, however educated in France. He lived in France and he also lived through the French Revolution. And he was so shocked by the French Revolution, he didn't want to see anything like this happen in Ireland. So when he went back to Ireland, he wanted to liberate it, not to a point of where we would be free from English rule, but rather the Catholics wouldn't be pressurized into a point of fighting for their own freedom, like what was happening in France. So becoming quite well educated, and then studying again in London, and then moving up into Westminster, where he would become politically connected. As he gained in power a little bit, he started to fight for Catholics to have the right to vote in Ireland. At one point, he even held a rally, and it said and reported and written that it was a sea that looked like 1 million people had come to hear him speak. And these were the Irish Catholics, showing their support, their commitment, and their gratitude to Daniel O'Connell. Because he was politically changing their entire lives and giving them something that they hadn't had for 1,000 years. This also meant that Catholics would be allowed to attend university, even Trinity College, which was the sister college to Cambridge and Oxford. Now, this also led to Oscar Wilde, Samuel Beckett, James Joyce. These literary geniuses changed the way the world viewed Irish Catholics. It forced the people that lived in Britain and were part of the British Empire to simply have a base level of respect, which allowed us to then slowly grow. And as the seas of war started bubbling once more over on mainland Europe, and Britain, of course, would then be slightly distracted. We saw the chance to strike, and we did.